Okay. I guess one of the first things is I understand that our superintendent... Oh, do we have any public comment that first to start off with?
For anything that's not on the agenda.
Right. Anything? Okay. We put together an agenda. We sent it out earlier. We hope that this is sufficient for today's meeting, but we're certainly flexible. If you all would like to talk about other topics, these were just kind of things we put on the agenda as we thought that may be important to you all. But if there are other things that are more important, please let's discuss them and bring them up, okay? Because we want to make sure that the city is in alignment with our schools moving forward. So I guess one of the first things I want to talk about is Mike's announcement of this week and how sad we are to hear about Mike Lavin. Mike Christensen has announced his retirement as superintendent of schools. So I don't know how many of you knew that, but it's been an announcement. I don't know if you've got any updates or not.
Other than the email that, I mean, we were executive cabinet and the board members were emailed prior to this email, maybe about 2 hours earlier, that when this email came out, so maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we received an email that he would be retiring, you know, by the end of the school year. So it's, you know,
how shock. Many ambulances did you need for a heart attack?
So he's been with the district for 20 years, and so he has done a lot of good things for the district. So
his letter to us is, after much consideration, deep reflection, I've decided to retire from the district this summer. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to serve with each of you, certified, classified, and leadership alike. Together, we managed to work through terrible budget cuts of the Great Recession and celebrate the eventual restoration of numerous programs and a full school calendar. Most recently, the success of Measure S will be a profound impact on teaching and learning in our high schools for generations to come. Can I thank you for your cooperation and positive attitudes throughout some very challenging times? And of course the letter goes on and on, but I'd really like to thank him for his service and really appreciate it.
He'll be missed.
I will let him know.
Thank you.
We'll go through the agenda items and then we'll go to other new stuff later. Okay. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Okay. I missed you at the PGA convention.
So we've got several agenda items that are on here. First is discussion of school events that may impact the community and how Villa Park City Council and community can support those.
I was hoping that graduation day that we could have a lifting of all the parking restrictions around the schools to allow plenty of room for our parents to park for the various ceremonies.
Is that all the schools?
Yes, all of them are on the same day. So the elementary schools in the morning, Sarah Villa will be at, I believe, 10:30, and then the high school, those at Fred Kelly, that won't impact the neighborhood.
What day is that?
It's Thursday, June 15th.
June 15th?
Mm-hmm. And we've in the past done that. When asked, it's protocol that we've done it.
Is it all day?
Usually, and it's not all day, it's usually half day, mm-hmm. Because the schools are out at that point, and the city manager usually works it out with Mike,
okay.
To take care of it. Mike bags it and tells the officers. And if you tell the officers, they don't really need to be bagged.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that the only day? There's a lot of stuff going on.
And I can't speak for the only schools, but the other schools. But we already had open house. That was last week.
Okay.
All of the schools did, so that's over. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, because we have promotion and we have field day, which we have a lot of parent help that day.
Mm-hmm.
So usually we don't have any parking enforcement on that day. So,
on the graduation day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which day is that?
That's the same day.
That's the
last day.
Okay.
School.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And we are half day that mm-hmm. day, so.
Okay.
They do open up the back lot at Cerevella on graduation. Mm-hmm. Takes you an hour to get out, but they open it up. All right.
Okay. What else?
Is kinder promotion and the kindergarten hullabaloo on the schedule there too?
I
think those are different days.
What day is that?
Kinder promotion is the 14th, which is that Wednesday.
That's just in the morning.
That's a big deal.
What is it?
We have a performance, like a play for the kinders and their promotion.
They graduate.
I think there's two different days.
Yeah, the Hullabaloo on the kindergarten play is May, it'd be May 25th at 6 p.m. And that is a kindergarten play, and there's roughly 90.
Yes. Thank you. The graduation is a big deal for the kindergartners because you do get a lot of people there, and that would be, and that's in the morning.
Yeah,
and that's in the morning.
Yeah, and I could see because of the graduation, that would be something that you would do because you'd get so much people. I would be hesitant, and Lord knows I'm your advocate there, to release the ask the city to release the parking when it comes to your Hullabaloo, only because there are so many
different
plays
events
that go on. That if we start that,
and it's after school, so they should be able to open the gavel, you would hope.
Okay, so that I want to caution at least on that one that maybe we not open it up on that one.
Okay.
Just do it for the graduation because there's a lot of people there. That's okay. If that's okay.
So do I need to call the?
Steve Hanks will take care. Steve Hanks will take care.
So June 14th and 15th. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
So nothing on the 25th. Of May?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's the 14th.
No, that was the play.
The play, yeah.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
The Phillip Park Elementary Kindergarten's graduating
so just
the 14th also.
14th and 15th.
Ours is not. Correct. Okay. Ours is, sorry.
But they don't complain over there. They have lots of parking.
Ours is Friday the 9th at 11, so we don't have any issues there.
Okay. They park all the way down by our street.
Yes, they'll be parked in your house.
It's okay. I don't mind.
Okay. Any other events that we need to talk about that impact each other that
Dad's
we can
camp
help
out?
With?
Anybody? Dad's Camp Out? When's that date?
June 9th.
That's an important date. So Dad's Camp Out, case they have it at Serrano now, too. So mm-hmm. they didn't used to do that. That might be something, Steve, that you put in the newsletter so that the residents are aware that there'll be cars parked all over the city for the Dad's Camp Out on June 9th. And they're parked overnight, and they leave in the morning. There's also helicopter activity, fire trucks, anything that entertains the children. That you might want to put that in the newsletter, and maybe let the new council people know if they don't know that. Robbie knows, but maybe let everyone know that that's our.
Yeah,
that's
drive
a big
by
deal.
It and see it
that's
all like the time. That, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's nice. And now that you have both schools, it's on both sides.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. So.
That's cool. Anything else, ladies? Middle school, high school, anything else? Okay. 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 Anybody, do you have a status for us on the high school?
Sure.
Put you on the spot. I was really encouraged when we had our school meeting. To hear all the things that were going on with the school improvement, the high school, and the progress it's making. I know it's got pressed both ways, and it's nice to see things are moving along.
Yes, absolutely. It's very exciting. And as you know, we passed a bond measure for $288 million, and the money will be divided into the four high schools. So Villa Park High School will receive $72 million. So right now, we staff working with the architects and the construction management firms to develop a schematic design for board approval, but you know, future board meetings. The board already approved Orange High School from last meeting, April 13th, and so the schedule is to this coming May 11th, it'll be El Medina High School. The next one will be Canyon High School at the May 25th meeting. So Villa Park High School will be on June 8th meeting. And so we encourage everybody to attend and to see what the plan is for Villa Park High School. You know, from the community involvement in, you know, about 2 years ago, the community supported to build a science center at all of the high schools, basically. And so the plan is to, in front of the school along TAF, is to demolish that building 300, which is a one-story building, and build a science center in that footprint. Before The architect talked about having a three-story building, but now we're working on having a two-story building, so it won't be, you know, the kids will be looking over the neighbors there.
It's
so
not three.
That's what we were working on right now, so, and we're going forward with that. And so also the board already approved the educational standards for all this, for the science center. It'll be 4 chemistry labs for each one of them, and then 8 wet labs, basically. So, and some additional classrooms that will be included in that building as well. So, again, we encourage you to attend.
And I realize that you can't, I don't look for any definite dates, but always the community always asks, when do you think they're going to start? Just, you know, when are they going to see a moving truck? When are they going to see a demolition truck? Just an idea. A year from now? A year and a half from now? I mean, I'm looking for a big timeline, but they want to know that.
So the board will, if the board approves the schematic design on June 8th, mm-hmm. and so the architect will start their drawings, and then it takes about 6 to 8 months for the drawings, and then they have to get it approved by DSA for another 6 months there. So it'll be... about a year at the earliest.
From here.
If we don't get a snap.
Because then you'll have to select a general, and then the general, mm-hmm. you know, have to get started and all the subs right. under that. So it'll probably be about a year.
And that's kind of important. That's something that we need to consider. So, I mean, I'm looking at, I'm going to go with a year and a half.
A year and a half.
At least a year and a half. Because we're putting a considerable amount of money into the Taft street project that we have. I mean, we're putting $700,000 in that starting at the end of June. And something that we need to consider, if we're putting all that money into the road, and then we're going to have that type of construction with those vehicles going across that road, and that's certainly past my grade pay level when it comes to engineering. But that's something that we need to be aware of so that the city doesn't spend, you know, the money we've been saving now for 10 years to do that project and have the streets crumble under, you know, under the construction. So that's why. Well, that's one of the reasons too that we'd like to know what's
that's
going
reasonable.
On for that.
A year and a half is reasonable because we don't know the DSA or Department of State Architects will approve the plan. So since there's a lot of bond measure that was passed throughout the state, and so they're pretty busy.
Okay.
Joe, is there a plan for better ADA situation? Right now there's a tower of terror for a handicapped student to go up on the outside to the second floor. Will there be an elevator in that building?
Absolutely. It's part of the requirement from the Department of State Architects to make sure that the new buildings that we build is compliant with, you know, with ADA access.
That's great.
One of the classrooms that's, you know, being proposed too is a medically fragile classroom. I know that term caused some confusion at the last board meeting, but those are classrooms for our special education students, have their own bathroom, have, you know, sinks and other items to teach life skills, like that sort of thing. I know that term, when it was presented at the last mm-hmm. meeting, there was a lot of hoopla afterwards, like, what is this, you know? And
that was what I was mostly concerned about. Like an elevator on the second floor going up.
Absolutely. And this is phase one, two, which I think is important to emphasize to the community.
Okay.
Well, we don't know yet, because we don't know right now on how much this building will cost. And so once that's development, once we go out to bid the project and receive the amount, then we'll know how much is the leftover money from the $72 million that is allotted to the school. And so while we're going through construction and the bidding process for this phase one project, then we'll plan ahead for the next phase on whatever, again, whatever amount is left over.
Along with that, where would the, as far as Villa Park, where would we put the temporary portables for the students, because we have to demolish a building?
Right, that's one of the things that the CEM and the architects are working on.
They're working on. We don't have a location yet. Okay.
That location. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
And no completion date, obviously, from start of construction of phase one. It just all depends on what is approved at the board meeting?
We would like to finish, you know, from start of construction to the end, it's about a year and a half to 2 years. We would like to get this done as fast as we could, because you know, we would like serve the students right off the bat.
So we're looking at 4 years from now to completion.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It takes a lot. It's a lot to build. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's,
a lot. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next up is a discussion of updates or improvements from the principals and other parent groups within the city. So let's start with Villa Park High School.
Okay. I know about updates or improvements. We did win the Golden Ribbon Award, so we're very excited about
that's
that.
That's very good. Mm-hmm.
That is nice. We had open house recently. AP testing starts today, and it's going to last for 2 weeks, so that's throwing everything into craziness at the school. Senior projects are due at the end of the month on the 31st. After that, we'll just be rolling into graduation. So we're in the home stretch. That's about all I know.
And just so you know, with AP testing, they don't ring the bells for scheduling either. So there's a lot of changes that happen on the day of the campus. So she's right, there's chaos there.
If I could just add a little just embellishment to the Gold Ribbon School mm-hmm. Award, that is a very big deal. And the school worked hard in preparing their application. And tonight there is going to be all kinds of celebrations and recognition. The state superintendent of schools is coming down to celebrate. And there's going to be all kinds of well-deserved hoopla for Southern California.
Is that at the high school?
Oh, no, it's going to be like at Anaheim Convention Center or something like that. I mean, not the convention center, but... I've got to go
okay.
and see.
Okay, someplace not here.
There's a huge, giant dinner, and the superintendent, Tom Torlakson, comes down mm-hmm. and takes a picture with all the people representing the school. So it's a very
that's cool.
big deal. So Gold Ribbon School is a big deal. Also, I'm still excited and thrilled, and I'm sure you all are, too, about the basketball team. The boys basketball team, they got one away from the state champion. They were the state runner-ups. Mm-hmm. And that's higher than any Orange Unified school has ever gone in a state competition. Wow. So, and they're also student athletes that have achieved great things in their academics as well.
Yeah, four schools
they're in
are
the top 10 in Orange County of basketball teams with their GPA. So...
They were invited to come to the council meeting on last Tuesday, but we were trumped by they were invited to go to the Angel Stadium and be honored. So they made a good choice. It's okay. So I just want you to know we were going to honor them.
Yeah.
So. When Mike Trout says like this,
you go. We were okay with it. So.
Yeah, that's so proud of them. I think just about everybody was glued to the television watching the game, too. I know I was for a little while.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah Villa.
We are also starting testing as of today for our students. I had talked also with Officer Benzie, I'm sorry he's not here today, regarding our student activity here in the Ralph Center on Wednesday mornings. We've had some reports of some minor vandalism, some fighting, so prior to this meeting, being as this meeting was delayed a little bit, I got on the phone with him and we worked it out, and there is going to be an increased sheriff presence.
I've spoken to Lieutenant Puckett. He actually will have, because it's happening behind Ralph's actually.
Right, exactly.
So he has an extra patrol vehicle driving by. And
last Wednesday, there was two black and white units here, and with OUSD security on top of it, because they were getting out of hand.
Yeah.
You may want to mention too what Lieutenant Puckett did.
Sure. What the sheriff did in response to a few parents and a few residents concerned about drug transactions taking place in the center. And of course, you get a lot of people who say a lot of things are happening. We don't know if it's right or wrong. So we mentioned it to the sheriff, and on his own, didn't let us know what day, didn't let us know what time, didn't know who the people were, but on three different occasions, daytime and nighttime, they did have an undercover person here. They were here for hours and hours and hours looking for sales of drugs, any offering, any sort of illicit activity. And during those three incidents, and they were not back-to-back, they were random, where the city didn't know until it was finished, they did not observe any drug buying, any drug selling. They were not offered any drugs. They did see kids vaping, if they were vaping something other than vape, unfortunately, that's not something that you could see or smell anymore. And they did see that, but they did not. They were not offered any drugs to buy or take or sell during those three times. And after it was completed, they came and they told us that they did it. So we were happy, at least to know. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen, but it didn't happen during those three times undercover. So at least know that we mentioned it to Sheriff. They took it upon themselves to do it three times. So it was kind of a test for us also to see what they would do, and they passed the test in flying colors, and they did out here also. There is a lot of vaping going on. There is a lot of shoplifting going on also, mm-hmm. And they are watching it. You know, we do have a variety of children that I don't think they have a place to go after school, so they come here because it's safe. But at least the drug transactions are not taking, they're not taking part out here. So they're going someplace else.
Well, that's been the problem Wednesday mornings, is with late start, a lot of parents are pushed to go to work, don't have anywhere to drop off their children, so they drop them off here. And so we're happy to report, too, that Saraville is now offering morning supervision on campus. Oh, parents can now drop their kids off on campus at the regular school time. And we did put that out in our parent newsletter, the Viking News, just within the last week. So we're making parents more aware that that supervision is available, so hopefully we'll have kind of less of the using the center as a babysitter. So happy to announce that.
Thank you.
And then another issue I had is the crossing guard on the corner of Taft between Villa Park High School and Saraville. It's been sporadic, like very sporadic, whether there's a crossing guard there or not. And so I was just wondering.
I have that question also. We've always had, we did have the same crossing guard for 2 years. It's always great when you get the same gentleman who's there or a lady who's there, because he does have rapport with the kids and the parents, you know who they are. But yes, it is sporadic.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go 3 or 4 days and there's not somebody there. And
it's been almost a month.
And that, I know, and that's with the sheriff's department. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it slipped my mind. And that's something we have to follow up with the sheriff's department, because that's their employee, and find out what's happened. So,
and I don't know who's paying for that.
That's a sheriff. Okay. That is an Orange County sheriff. I know we pay for it, but they're under their jurisdiction. They hire them, they train them, they take care of them.
Because that's a busy intersection, and especially you get a lot of the kids crossing on the wrong side, which means that parents are unable to turn right.
No, we pay for them to be there 5 days a week, you know, in the morning. So something's happened. Mm-hmm. And I've asked a few of the kids, and they haven't told me. I'm glad that you said that. And Steve, we'll have to follow up with the sheriff's department immediately and find out what's happening.
We have public comment.
Does the sheriff's department do Serrano as well, or is it just the big intersection?
Serrano, that is the city of Orange. And the city of Orange has its own police department, so you'd have to ask them who they pay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, for Luke, who does over on Serrano, Santiago and Serrano.
Uh-huh.
That's Orange.
That's the city of Orange, and I don't know who pays for him. So I don't know if that's... It's not the sheriff department.
It's not the sheriff.
So it could be the same company, and the sheriff contracts with the same company.
Okay.
But that I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing I don't know. He's always there.
He's awesome.
He's great. That gentleman is wonderful.
He's great.
And thank you for putting presence of the officers in the center on Wednesday mornings, because that only doesn't increase fear with children, but also with some parents coming here.
And shopping and stuff,
yes,
and seeing that they're here.
But because my daughter overhears a lot of conversation and threats, and one of them is in her class, and say, Mom, I'm warning you, do not go to the center on Wednesday mornings, because I do my shopping after drop-offs. So I said, next time you hear things, jot down the name, and don't be afraid, don't say anything, just go to the office or turn their name to me, and I'll help you go to the office. So. And thank you for putting also at the school for Wednesday mornings. But there's also an increased, I don't know, the crossing right in front of the CB office. We don't have adults there, but...
You mean in the crosswalk section?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The teacher normally, the principal normally is right in the front.
Not in the morning.
In the morning.
And
there's
the danger of running...
Yeah, I understand, and that's a parent responsibility. Usually, once we start to get the word out, it's like almost like a reminder. We have to remind them, we have to take a 30-day break, and then again remind them, and then they pick it up again. It's just, it's constantly reminding the parents to watch their children and not drop them off in the middle of the street and running across the street. It's
yeah.
And Nicole's well, good we'll at that, so she'll mention that again to them.
I had a concern expressed to me regarding the catwalk, that the kids are being vandalizing the area on the far side of the catwalk, and there's no supervision. I picked up my grandkids there, and I would like to be able to say something to the kids. They won't listen. They would only laugh, so I don't. But it is. I mean, they are walking all over people's yards and in their bushes and all kinds of things. So.
Yeah, we had Mr. Garcia was, you know, making some passes out there, but unfortunately he's out for a few weeks.
Maybe
when he gets back we'll have, or we actually have a new security gentleman over there, Mr. Higgins. So maybe I'll see if he can go over and...
Just, I mean, because there's some elderly people who live right there.
And
I just, I live down, what's the name of the street?
Oh.
So there's a moment. Let's have a moment. Get down.
Anyway, the corner of Oakwood Circle and Serrano is really close to where Stevie gets up. For a while, like several days in a row, there were like six or eight kids waiting on the lawn of the house at the end of the street. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were just waiting. But they were on their lawn. Some of them were like sitting. Some of them were laying. So, I mean, you know, they're just waiting. But I, because that's how I am, I went down there and I said, kids, I said, you know, can you just go around the corner and wait on the sidewalk, or even better, wait at the school, because that's what the school would like them to do. Mm-hmm. Because this is somebody's lawn. To a person, they just, I mean, they were so respectful and
that's
compliant,
great.
And all that kind of stuff. The next day, however, they were there again. So I went again, and again, they just stepped around the corner and went. And then the third day, which I don't know if that was consecutive or at the end of the week or whatever, I called Lisa at the school, the principal, and I just said, she was very apologetic, and she said, oh, we'll talk to the kids or send someone out there. And it hasn't, I mean, it's stopped. So, I, you know, it's natural because they're kids, and
right.
But the good part is, everybody was very respectful. Nobody laughed or, you know, ignored
them. I didn't attack them.
Yeah.
Well, I know better than that.
And I just asked them, you know. And sometimes also, a time or two, a parent was picking them up, and I said, could you just have your son or daughter not wait on the grass? Because, you know, these are people's property, and, you know, they don't need that. You know, you might not want it either. And the parents were, oh, of course, you know, the parents were very, you know.
And your street, I have to say, is being across the street from the school, and people do drop off. As long as I've been on council, in 5 years, I've never heard one complaint from them or Mark across the street. So I have to tell you, they've been very, but if you talk to the students, I'll tell you, most of them, you may get one bad apple, but the majority of them are not.
There are a bazillion kids who
drop
off.
Yeah, they're very polite.
Walk side.
Yeah. So,
I just had a comment. I'm Hank Streeter at CV. I pick her up on the far side of the catwalk every day. There was a new security guard, my daughter says, standing
Mr.
out
Higgins,
there.
Yeah,
Mr. Higgins,
probably,
was
yeah.
there on Friday.
Good.
But I cannot believe the resident that lives right next to the catwalk would not come out and say anything. The kids are all over the lawn.
That's
wrestling, just doing whatever. Play fighting sometimes where I stop and I look.
Really?
They look at me.
She's the
older
lady.
Because I'm the type that if I see some kids in a fight or something like that, I go and break it up.
She's an older lady, and she's lived there. She's an original owner. And
okay,
has
but
lived there. And so
it's
I have
really
to
bad.
Yeah, and she's... In the past, when sprinklers and stuff were broken, they've been fixed before. But she, I have to tell you, she doesn't come out often. She doesn't come out often.
I mean, they are
so
all
not,
over her lawn.
Yeah.
Like, they're practically
yeah.
knocking on her door sometimes. I can't
yeah.
believe it. And then the house on the other side is under construction. They kind of tend to stay away from there. But there's just no sidewalk. There's no place. They can't go on the street. They can't. So... Unfortunately.
It's been like that since
that's
we've since it's been like that since Villa Park's been born.
Yeah.
The catwalk.
<Yeah. laughs>
I'm glad she's
sure,
tolerant.
It's really bad.
It is bad. Yeah, we'll see if we can step up enforcement on that.
The security guard to try and get him off the lawn.
I know Mr. Higgins was there, but...
Yeah, I like that he's there.
Yeah, see if we can get
him out a little bit more. Not deterring kids on the lawn, but, I mean, what do they have to... They're going to have to stand in a single file line on the curb or something, you know? I mean, there's no place for them to go.
Ultimately, we need a better pickup system so that the children's, the children do not have to leave the campus because they should be picked up on the campus because that's the safest place you want them. So maybe some in some future phase of improvements, you know, when we get to middle school, I don't know when that will be, but maybe we could have some better design, you know, for drop-off and pickup because it should be centralized and localized on the campus.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Elementary school?
Well, we do have some issues as well on Feather Hill with some of our kids on the lawns of the residents. We have addressed it numerous times. The children have been punished, and we have also had an issue across the way. There's a house on the corner across the street. Once the crossing guard crosses them, they wait right there. And they're not so much on the lawn there, but they're on the driveway. So, but we have asked parents numerous times. I have got the names of the children that were standing there. The parents have been called. So it doesn't really happen across the street anymore. As far as the people, the kids on the lawn, we have some bad apples, and it has been repeated over and over again, but we are working on it with the parents, and we know who the kids are, so we're working on that too.
And like Kathy, I say something when I walk by, because that's my street, so I nicely say something, and my kids pick up the trash that's left there, but especially when they're in the tree, they're climbing the tree.
Also, yes, it's not okay.
Yeah. So I also say something very nicely and tell them I don't want them to get in trouble, but it is the same kids repeatedly.
Yes. So we are working on that, and we do have parents who walk that way and see it all the time. So, and it's addressed at that moment by those parents as well. But we have some bad apples. As far as everything else is, we have a book fair going on right now, and our library was just redone. So we have all new furniture in our library. It's all like new, updated, state-of-the-art stuff for our library. It's awesome. It's been repainted. And the funding for that came from the PFO and part of our foundation. It looks awesome. Our librarian worked all over summer to do it on her own time, and it's pretty amazing. Our steam mob is now complete and being used. It looks pretty cool. Our tables are awesome. They have the lockers underneath. I think next year will be our first year of actually utilizing the entire room as it should be. We had a fundraiser, a new fundraiser this year. It was in lieu of our jogathon, we did like an obstacle course type thing with a company called Step It Up. And we went from $11,000 on the jogathon the previous year to $51,000.
Wow.
So it was pretty awesome. And we will continue it next year instead of our wrapping paper.
Wow, cool.
So it was pretty cool.
How do you use those funds?
Well, right now we're looking to use it for, we normally don't have that much money, so we're kind of like, whoa. So it's just going to go to PFO. We pay for art master, like part of the art masters, we pay for our PE teacher, our music teacher, anything that we run at the school, the PFO pays for. So yeah, it kind of just goes everywhere. And I think this time we're buying two. We have a Chromebook cart for one Chromebook cart for our 3 sixth grade classes, and we're going to buy them each classroom a Chromebook cart.
Does your sixth grade not have a bring your own device program?
They do, and we've tried it numerous times. We just it hasn't worked out well because when you bring your own device and trying to log on to everything, it keeps shutting them off. and then kids forget to bring it, and then, you know, it's just kind of more drama than it needs to be. So
sometimes if you reset the thresholds so it doesn't kick them out, because I know a lot of times guest networks and things like that typically have a threshold of how long you're allowed to stay on the network,
mm-hmm.
so you don't get network congestion. So
I don't know. We have our IT guy, you know, our OUSD IT guy has worked on it numerous times, and just it's not quite working the way that they want it to. So this is kind of going to alleviate all that.
Okay.
Like we said, the movie night and our camp out is June 9th. Ours is a luau theme. We're going to show Moana. We have our talent show on
Moana.
Talent show is June 3rd, and that will be at our school this year. And our VAPA concert is the 25th, and that, I believe, is at CV's auditorium. Our aspect testing starts in 2 weeks, so we're anticipating that. And we came in second in our foundation games, which we've now 2 years in a row, we've lost to VPE. But after our 8 year long.
It's okay, you still got the first.
So we're not too happy about that. But and then we have, like I said, our promotion day and our field day, and the kinder promotion is the day before that. And we have our last, you know, events are coming up right now, and Muffins with Moms and Donuts with Dads are right before Mother's Day and right before that school ends for Father's Day. And that's about it.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you have a new principal.
Yes.
Serrano was a very busy school.
Yes.
How, I mean, by this time she's probably well in and all that kind of thing, but, you know, was that an easy transition or, you know, is, you know, whatever?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not. It hasn't been an easy transition. It's been a little, we're experiencing a lot of hesitation, and I think I'm hoping the wrinkles will be ironed out for next year. It's been rough on our parents, some staff. It's difficult. It's a difference of
leadership.
Yeah, personalities in our principals. It's the way that things are done. Like I said, it's just different. It's different. We're having a hard time adjusting.
It's hard to have a principal there as many years as the old one.
Yeah.
Was.
Well, we had a great one in between.
We did, but I think that to me was like dessert.
Yeah.
She was so good.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think last year's breath of fresh air too, right?
Yes.
You know,
Ashley
was
just there.
Just 1 year.
Ashley was good for the community and everything.
Most of us here have been at the school for 3 years. We've had 3 separate principals.
Yeah.
You get used to one and they switch it. Yeah. And then again.
Yeah. Well, as you probably know, Ashley accepted a job at another school. And so
we're in touch with her. But we're still mad at her.
Yeah. It wasn't an intention on the part.
We still
of
use our voodoo dolls
on her. Because it does create a lot of, you know.
Change.
Yeah. It's just different. It's very different from last year to this year.
I remember visiting when she was at Olive. I believe she came from Olive. And she's very experienced, you know, very well prepared, very knowledgeable, smart woman. And so hopefully things will kind of even out going forward.
Yeah. I'm looking in from the outside in, and my job for the Women's League is to be able to compile a newsletter every month about what's happening in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Serrano's internet, all their websites and all those things are so far out of date, there's absolutely nothing. Some of them, I think, go back to 2015. And they're online through the school district, and that's something that really needs to be So does the women's league, so don't get me wrong.
I understand.
But it is something that people are now looking at. They want to find out when something's happening. They're on their phone looking at it on a website, and it ain't there.
No, it's not. And that would just things like that, that's what I'm talking about.
We're having
about.
A hard time with the lack of communication that she is giving the school. We've asked her to do face calls, emails. And she's kind of like kicking back as far as not wanting to do it. And if she does, there's a date wrong every single week. And she's been to maybe two PFL meetings the whole year. And it's just hard to get communication out to parents as far as when events are and stuff if we're not having the support. You know, we had an incident in our parking lot a couple of weeks ago where a parent that helps do traffic in the morning got hit with a car and she did not address it at all.
Until a scene was basically made.
She walked out and said, I'm going to be late for a meeting, didn't address the parent, didn't address the issue at all. So
it was all over social media too, Kathy. As soon as it happened.
Yeah.
But she didn't get injured like you said, but no. You know, but in school, I mean, I tripped once at the school, and there's five forms I had to pick out.
Like,
so you understand,
okay?
We know the protocol
even, like,
or what happened.
Like,
it was on
the
campus.
It's
so.
Just a different dynamic that none of us are used to, and it's kind of to have that much involvement from the parents at our school, which is amazing.
Yeah.
They're walking away. We're taking over three and four committees each because people don't want to help anymore.
Yeah.
I volunteer. I've been a volunteer at Serrano for the last 9 years, because I have three children. One is at senior right now. And it was at a peak where when Ashley was there, you know, the communication, the interaction, expression of concern. There are things that I didn't like that she did and decided on, but still, you know, she addresses every issue to take care of everybody. And this year, I just closed my door.
Is my understanding that Heidi Miranda is giving up her position?
Oh, yeah.
Heidi has taken care, as a parent, that has taken care of the traffic situation. She's been to many meetings, and she's been instrumental in the traffic study. She's been instrumental in just about every striping and even public works that Villa Park, the city, has done. And she is resigning that volunteer position after what? 11 years? 9 years. This is her last year. She's done. And she's put her time in, and that's okay, regardless of her reasons. But there's a changing of the guard is what's happened. So it's nice. You know, there's not much the city can do with that, but I appreciate the fact that you are here and that Kathy's here and that the opportunity to express yourself at least is kind of being heard in a small meeting.
Yeah.
And you can hear it a little bit more.
Frankly, I'm happy for the feedback, but I didn't mean to bring this forward in such a public way if this was going to be the response, because that's sort of not fair to Catherine. But you know, it is instructive. I have a visit set up for next week or the following Sunday, sometime in May, to come and visit at Serrano. Mm-hmm. Of course, Serrano is a place in my heart. That's my kids' elementary school, and I was PTA president there, and so I know how important it is to have good communications and sort of, you know, be smooth running, you know, among the parents who are so important and helpful and crucial to the smooth running of the school. But I remember when I was PTA president, Skip Rowland, who many of you know from many different ways, he was the president. When Skip came as principal of the school, he said, wow, this is a busy school. Do you have anything, any kind of an orientation for your parents? Because when kindergarten parents come, or, you know, some family moves in, to know all the things that are going on and all the ways parents can get involved and all that kind of stuff. And so at that time, we developed a little parent guide and a little orientation meeting and all that kind of stuff. So I was just wondering, you know, how is the hello process for the principal? But I'm happy to hear these things and hope.
Sorry, we overwhelmed you.
No, it's okay. I
I don't mind hearing them. I just didn't mean to make this a public forum about the principal.
From the city standpoint, we're happy. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we could separate that. We've had a nice relationship with the principal.
Yeah. And I appreciate everybody.
And Jill, too, if you want updates on our school, I suggest you like our Facebook. If you're on Facebook, like our I personally do our Facebook site, and I do it all the time. So
I just usually call your secretary. She and I have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And I'll say, what's happening? And she said, well, not much, or whatever, or something. Okay. I've got to invent something here.
Yeah.
And
so we usually, we'll usually post everything on the Facebook
site. Showcase all schools. Unfortunately, you got showcased the tournament games. And the Bobcats went on that one.
Okay.
DP?
Anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the update. Villa Park Elementary.
We had our open house a couple weeks ago where we elected our new executive board for we voted our new executive board for next year in. That went well. We do our book fair, our spring book fair around our open house, so parents have a chance to purchase books in the evening also. So that all went well with our classroom visits. We had a good turnout for that. We did participate in the foundation games last weekend, and we held on to our title for first place for the second year in a row, so that was exciting because we were scared. We thought, sure, that might be one and done. So anyway, that was exciting, very, very exciting. We had some success there. We start our SBAC testing on May 8th. That runs through the 19th. May 31st is our VAPA performance. June 1st is
what
our,
is that?
Our VAPA, our band performance.
Okay.
For 5th and 6th graders is May 31st. June 1st is our kindergarten through 4th grade music performance that our music teacher will put on.
June 1st.
We'll have our lip sync performance on June 13th. The 12th, our sixth graders go to Disneyland. The 13th is the sixth grade kickball game, as well as our lip sync performance. We're changing that format a little bit this year. There won't be the tryouts. There's just going to be one grand finale performance where all the acts will get to perform this year. Our graduation and field day, our sixth grade promotion is the 15th, and field day will follow for the kinder through fifth graders where they do a field day type rotation party, end of year party, where they rotate between obstacle courses, a lot of water games and things like that.
Cool.
What, on both of the, I don't know if you know that, what was the enrollment so far for the kinder coming in? Enrollment opened in March. What did that look like? Mm-hmm. Does anyone know?
Ours is pretty full.
Okay, it's
so
okay.
I think we're at the point where we're not sure, are we going to be allowed three kinders again, or are we sticking with two?
Because right now you have two.
We have three.
You have three right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. I haven't heard of.
And you have.
We have three also.
You have three full too.
I have not heard of ours changing.
Okay. That just shows just going forward,
yeah.
You know, how the school is going to look. So that's why I always ask that.
Early.
Yeah. To see what's going on. I didn't see a big bunch of people hanging out, you know, the day it opened, so
yeah.
Kind of worried me when I saw that, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So.
Okay, any other updates for the school? Cover everybody, everything?
Cool.
The next thing we have on the agenda is to have a little discussion about the demolition of the building at Villa Park Elementary. Any updates or anything from the school board?
Sure. The board approved the demolition of the two original school buildings at Villa Park Elementary School last month, March 9th meeting.
I'm looking at the wrong agenda, I guess.
Sorry. It's not on the new agenda.
Oh, yeah, it's not on. That's not on my agenda.
Oh.
That's why.
I printed the old one, but that's okay.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm interested in it.
Okay.
Because I know we had,
yeah.
in our meeting, we talked a lot about it, and there was some discussion. There's some discussion around. There was some discussion around ideas and thoughts about what we could do with the bell and things like that. So, just wanted to see if we had an update.
Yeah, well, right now we are in the process of having a meeting with the historian, and I have invited some of the people here to attend a brainstorming meeting on what to put on the memory book, because as part of the EIR mitigation measures that was included in the EIR is for us to create a memory book where, you know, we could invite people to be interviewed, who wants to be in the oral history program and things like that. And so I have a meeting set up for that this week. And so as far as the school bell is concerned, the board in 2008 approved to not to give out that bell. It was approved to keep the bell and build a monument at the school site. And so that's what we're planning to do right now. So,
okay.
But as part of the mitigation measures to for us to create a memory book, a whole oral history program. And so I invited you and Jill and Moffitt, and so to have a brainstorming meeting, especially what to put on that memory book.
Okay.
So our goal is to demolish the building this summer, and so we are in the process of putting a bid together to demolish that. So we already received a response from the Orange County Recorder's Office, because once the board approved to demolish the building, we have to notify the State Clearinghouse if there's some challenges to the determination of the board. We didn't receive any, and so it was a 30-day window period, and so we're moving forward with the demolition of the building.
Good. Okay.
And the city's participation, we're going to try and work out some sort of a community interest and have some sort of a contest where people come up with ideas of what they think and how they think maybe the bell should be preserved and where to be preserved. Just kind of like what we did with the painting of the utility boxes. So we're not working out the details yet until we figure out what's going on. We certainly have some time. But to see, we're going to throw it out there and see what they come up with.
A city opportunity, or is that a school district?
We're working with the school district where they're, they're certainly going to allow us that opportunity to have those suggestions. And if they so choose to either loan us the bell, give us the bell, have it on their campus, have it here, those are the details we don't know. But a combined, we'll give them the ideas that come up with whenever we have the contest and see what we can work on mutually.
Seems to me also that some of the ideas, and maybe the memory book encompasses this, is to have photos of the existing structure, and also to have some kind of living history, maybe like interviews recorded.
Yes.
Yeah, all that was part of it.
Yes, that will be part of the discussion this coming Friday. So this is a picture of a memory bell Tustin Unified School District, and so. This is kind of like will give us some ideas on what to do with the school bell as well.
Well, we don't. I'll tell you what I'm completely 100% against, and that's having it in the City of Orange's library, which is something that was offered by the mayor at the last meeting I went to, and I politely, did not keel over. I'm sorry, you can't have it in your library.
There's a lot of history there, and people. We want to make it so that people can come and visit and reflect and think about all the wonderful memories that at the school and stuff like that. So,
having been the 100-year chair of the history of the school, there's a lot of things that I still have, of letters and those kinds of things, and Mark now has some of them. I've given them to him, our son. But the one thing that always stands out is the fact that kids used to ring that bell. And I would really like to see a bell tower so that
privilege for student of the month.
That's where I am. I just really feel like that would be a great opportunity to be able to keep that tradition.
I would like to see
accessible.
Selfishly.
Well, we're gonna reach out there. We're gonna reach out to the majority out there and see what their ideas up. And
that bell, to my knowledge, was Robert Brappleton. He complained that he never got to ring the bell. And I said, give me $100 and you can do it.
Okay.
You have to run our fundraisers.
Well, we have some work. We have time on this one, so we're working with
but I
would, the district.
I personally feel like it needs to remain on the site.
Well, when we open it up to the community, we're going to ask people to submit their ideas.
Now that I've officially gone off agenda, I'm coming back on, okay? I apologize. But it's good to know what's going on. The next item was discussion of parking enforcement.
Okay, and I put this on here, and this is certainly we don't have the sheriff department here, but this is an update for something that all of us are certainly well aware of. We've gone over this every single year, and we certainly had a big turnaround. But what we have now is we do have enforcement at all the schools. We know where that enforcement is, and this is something that certainly does concern the city because the sheriff department does run underneath us, but what I'm seeing is that it's not being enforced. Nothing is worse than taking the streets and making them red zones and making them no parking to have them not being enforced. I mean, it just kind of, it doesn't do anything. So the reason we put certain parameters over at Villa Park Elementary, as much as a lot of us don't like it, not having parking across the street on Center, on that home, there's two reasons, is because when cars are parked on both sides of the road, you can't get through. And I have received several complaints from several parents. And the word used was selective enforcement. The selective enforcement has been on tickets and parking, tickets being issued on Feather Hill and Dotson by Serrano. Very few tickets being written on Taft, by the high school. And if you are lucky to see a Villa Park Elementary, if you're there, lucky to see a police officer, but it's just not there. It's not there.
I haven't seen one in a couple months in Serrano. I think it's been like 2 months.
I saw a sheriff on Friday, and I knew I had this meeting today. I saw a sheriff on Friday. He turned left off of Lincoln onto Center. He didn't stop. When I walked to the corner, there were 9 cars parked illegally.
On that no parking on Center.
No parking, mm-hmm. And not a light on.
Yeah, it's gotten bad.
Day, kids are darting across the street. I want to park there. I've been going to that school forever. I want to park there. I use the crosswalk, but I don't.
I agree with you. And just give me a moment. I know maybe you haven't seen someone there now, but for 2 years, as you all know, they've been there. And because of that, the casualty has been, and I said that I predicted it was going to happen, was over at Villa Park Elementary. Because we have no complaints. But they're going to start now because they're parking around. They're parking on the corner. They're parking up to the stop sign.
Everywhere.
And I have addressed it with the sheriff personally, myself. I've had a meeting with him. I've addressed it with the prior city manager. I haven't so much as addressed it with Steve because he's got a million things coming on his plate. But we're now addressing it here to go on. And the fallout has been that side of the city. And we cannot continue to have, if we're not going to enforce the parking, then the signs need to be removed.
Absolutely.
They do. And that way, no one just runs the risk, or that selective people.
Well, let's also be clear, too, that the violations are not necessarily all about the no parking. It's about parking illegally.
Correct.
So there's two different issues.
The illegal U-turns, I hate to tell you, the illegal U-turns, they are.
Children are right there on the curb and they bounce.
I'd like to say that those are going to stop, but I have been there where the officer has been giving a ticket, and then they make an illegal U-turn while his back is turned also. So unfortunately, that's not an issue that we can fix 100%, I'm just going to tell you, because we can't have 25 officers there issuing a ticket. You just, I wish I could tell you we could. But let's just stick to the parking, as the city spent a lot of money and a lot of hours on these ordinances. There's a reason we did it. And the enforcement can't be selective. So we need to work on that. The officers need to work on that. And I want at least the school district to know, that we're working. Because
what is the fine,
I think the ticket's $55 for, what it is.
That's substantial for some people.
What is the policy? Because I know over the summer we had met about the no stopping or standing. And it was our understanding that you could go into a no parking zone and be in your car. And I know they've had some issues over at Serrano with parents being ticketed even though they're waiting in their car. And what is the policy?
The policy is who's telling the truth. So if you're in your car with your engine running, you're not, you're not stopped. We do not have a no standing policy. That did not pass. So that did not pass. We did have, I know one parent who says she was in her car with her engine running and she received a ticket, and I did address it. But the woman didn't fight it, so I can't tell you who was telling the truth or who wasn't telling the truth.
She's not just asked to leave? Like, this is no parking, you need to move on.
You know, the details were not that clear when they came to me, and that's part of the problem. It just is. I think, you know, I get the complaint, but I don't get every single detail.
And I mean, just as a Villa Park Elementary parent, the repercussions of not being able to sit in your car, you know, if they're going to enforce that around Serrano, is Villa Park Elementary's entire, like, drop-off pickup system at the front of the school is parents sitting in their car in what is technically a no-parking zone. And they line up there, you know, we just drive through in the morning, it's pretty clear. But after school, that's where the parents line up. And if they're not going to be allowed to be in their car anymore, you're talking about them moving those cars back into the street, which is the way it used to be, mm-hmm. you know, 7 years ago or what have you. And then blocking ingress and egress for these residents to their homes. I mean,
the no standing did not pass. Why the officer, and I only know of the one incident, and it was a big incident, stopped that person in Serrano. I did try to address, but without the cooperation of the parent to give us the details, there's nothing at that point that I could do. I wish I could help you, that because it was upsetting, because all of you, I think, were even here during that meeting.
Yeah, and you know what? I would like to address that, because, I mean, if we look back, I don't know if we do keep minutes on these meetings.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Because
we do.
If you look back to the minutes, Officer Benzie was here, and he did say, it doesn't matter if your car is on or off. If you are in your car, you are okay to be there. So is once you exit the car, that's parking your car. But if you are in your car, whether the car is on or off, it does not matter. And that was
directly moving.
And that was said. So it really, I think what needs to happen is that all the sheriffs need to be on board with the same thing.
Yes, and that sheriff who did issue that ticket, it was not someone that works with us all the time. He's someone who goes in all the cities for the sheriff's department, depends where they have the need. And that particular day, they assigned him to Villa Park. I don't think he's been assigned here since then. It's random. I think he got the wrath of Serrano, is why, and he doesn't want to come back.
The action that we'll take from this meeting today is that we will sit down with Lieutenant Puckett and make sure that we create some additional awareness for him regarding some of the updates that you all have brought up today, and also ask him at the next meeting to have a representative here, so that in case other things come up, we can share and talk about those things together so we can work together to fix them. Is that okay?
And then my other question was, on here it says no parking without permit on Feather Hill and Dodson on streets and beyond the first five homes of the street. What does that mean?
Well, when the ordinance came up, you cannot park at all on Feather Hill or Dodson all the way up. And what's happening is the enforcement from the sheriff department is only taking place in like the first five homes. And I routinely drive the streets, and you know that the permit's on there, and no one is receiving a warning or a ticket, and it's routinely on those two streets. And that is what some of the parents are referring to as selective enforcement. They're selectively taking the people in the first five streets because you know that they're walking to CV or they're walking to Serrano. From the city standpoint, I want to alleviate that, because I don't want anybody certainly blaming the city or blaming the sheriff department that they're doing selective enforcement. So that's the reason this is on here, is to make sure that we bring attention to the fact that that ordinance is no parking all the way up. Okay, you live at the end of the street, which I know one of the parents does. It's lovely. Is anyone ever going to park up there? No, but they wanted that particular enforcement, so I think that it needs to be enforced, because those poor moms who are getting it at the bottom, it's not fair to them. You know, it's just not fair.
I just want to make sure it's consistent. That's all. And consistent enforcement across all areas of the city, so that we don't have some parents or some residents feeling slighted and some others feeling like they're over-enforced and that kind of stuff. So we're just bringing this up in terms of awareness. She's already met. I've taken pictures. I've been out to the school several times, taken some pictures that I'm going to share with the sheriff. when I meet with him. So that's the reason we put this on here, is to find out if there are other things that we need to be concerned about so that we can, you know, help them be aware of, you know, make sure everything is the same.
Yeah, Villa Park Elementary, I know one of the biggest issues is you've got people parking. They're blocking the parking lot. You can't get into the parking lot now because they're parking not just in the red, they're parking a car behind the red. And there is no enforcement. I mean, I know I'm there. There's zero. And that's gotten worse in about the last, I would say, this year. I knew it would happen, and now no one cares. So someone's going to get hurt. Yeah. So we're bringing it up to talk with the sheriff.
So it kind of came out and was there to too much enforcement over at Serrano and not over at the rest of them.
Correct. That's the bottom line for these issues.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's equal. You know, we got kids, and we've got kids at all these schools, so we need to watch out for all of them. It can't be just at one school.
I mean, parents amaze me.
I know.
Dart across the road, dragging their kid across the street.
Right, and the sheriff. And if they're there,
it's in California,
stop them.
We can walk
but, you know, we can't fix that.
We want to.
Yeah. You know, and I know we brought up that, you know, parking is something that we're
lucky I know that
people have for all the moving violations. But I will say there are continual moving violations, speeding, not necessarily when school's in session.
Oh, Serrano's a speed zone after school.
I'm trying to walk across to the Bell Park Little League with my son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd be standing there and people see you and they'll wave at you as they're going past. Hi. I'm like, you know, you saw me, and they're not stopping.
They won't be speeding this summer when we're ripping it up, so we're just watch it.
My concern is still more about the safety of the parents and the children.
Right.
I see junior hires trying to cross there without their parents because they're walking on their own, so the middle schoolers that are in danger. I know that the city council has brought up the possibility of flashing lights. I don't know where that is, but I do think that would... You know, the flashing lights or whatever.
Where?
They have the flashing bumps on that crosswalk at Feather Hill. Would be amazing. Well, at all of the crosswalks.
All the crosswalks.
You mean the ones that are on the ground, the running lights?
Like on Hughes.
Do you remember when...
I like those.
Do you remember when...
That's something that we could get a cost
on. Bob brought that up at the last No Stopping, No Standing meeting. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Haven't heard it since. So we'll resurrect it. How's that?
Because I do think that would be helpful to remind people... You know, at the ones by all of the schools, I think, not just at Serrano, but all of the schools in Villa Park.
Okay.
We have flashing lights over at Villa Park Elementary.
Okay.
We do.
I just have another thing to address. Like, I know, Nicole, I didn't get the email that we were having the meeting. Nicole had forwarded it to me. So, and I just want to make sure that this is the only parking issues because... Really don't.
I put this on here. This was me.
I just don't want to get that email in the middle of the summer again.
This was me, but I will tell you. I've heard some rumbling.
Yeah, because I heard.
I've heard some rumbling that about different issues of enforcement on Feather Hill Dots, and that is all I know. And I understand what you're talking about, and for the benefit of the city manager, in the last several years, some of these issues that have come up regarding anything having to do near the schools has come up during after June and during the summer when the schools are virtual. I mean, it's empty. So that has been a big concern with the community where they've, you know, and no one's here for the residents. So that's where we're talking.
Yes, and I just wanted to
if it does come up again,
if anything else has come up because I
officially no
about parking on the little parking that we do have on Serrano being taken away.
Officially no.
Okay.
Okay. And if we hear anything, we'll certainly be forthcoming.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
One more comment.
Yes,
and I
ma'am.
Apologize.
No.
Center and Lincoln at Villa Park Elementary. The right side of the street on the school side, before the stop sign at Center and Lincoln, it is red. Can't park within 30 feet of a stop sign. I learned my lesson. I got my ticket on the other side of the street at the stop sign. On the left side of the street, those curbs are not painted red.
They don't have to be. The ordinance in the city of Villa Park is you cannot park within 30 feet of a stop sign. That was painted red. Somebody got a ticket a couple years ago, and anyway.
On the other side?
Yeah, and just somehow they
painted that
Guess
for
what?
Red.
I got the every, I got a ticket there
everyone,
too.
Every once in a while, somebody has spoken a little louder, and all
the
of a sudden,
the city councilman got a ticket.
Yeah. We have that issue on Federal Hill too.
It doesn't need to be painted red, just so you know. It does not need to be painted red. You cannot park within 30 feet of a stop sign. I've gotten it without it being red. And every year at the beginning of the school year, it doesn't happen so much as Serrano. I do walk in and I remind the principal and the secretary to tell the parents, remember, I don't want, I did it again this year, because I don't want parents to get a ticket,
right now.
You know.
Yeah, like right and if I stop at the stop sign, and someone's sitting in their car, I roll down my window, I said, you can't park there.
I know.
When I asked Jared a few years ago to paint those curbs red, and he said, we can't paint every curb red. And I said, I understand you can't, but there's just a couple more around VPE that you could paint red just to make sure it's very clear to everyone.
Yeah, let's take a look.
We'll look at it.
Alleviate that problem.
Yeah.
We'll look at it every year.
Give me some paint. I'll paint them.
Oh, please don't, because everyone at Serrano has painted their homes with their own paint. But I agree. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that.
Okay.
I agree.
So let's go around the room. Any comment? Further comments or anything?
Regarding parking? Or
anything. No, just anything you have left.
Just as far as parking goes. Okay. I mean, you know, being as we have our new city manager and two members of council here, I really feel that it needs to be clear. It's everyone's best interest to have as much parking around the schools as possible. We're a very involved community. We like to, you know, park and go up and get our kids, socialize with other parents, get involved. To get us, you know, to park helps people get in and out faster. You know, and really that's the goal, is to get people in and out faster. If they can't park, then they're circling. You have more illegal U-turns. You have more moving violations. We just need to get the parents in and get them out of the community. And causing parents to circle and circle around these schools is not beneficial. It's not
right.
safe.
I agree.
So that's my only comment.
Okay. Anything else for the...
Nope.
Okay. Steve?
No.
You? Nothing?
Yeah. Fireworks. Who's applied for fireworks? Okay.
Rotary
through one
the
Rotary and the PFSL. Mm-hmm. And then our third application was the band.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, okay, and
no
there
lottery.
there is no lottery this year. Football is not participating.
Sorry,
I've
band at the high school as well, so.
They're not participating. They've been successful in some other fundraisers and kind of went a little rogue this year, which is okay, and that's fine. Just wanted to make sure that we have what's going on. Now, Taft is being torn up. It's my understanding, because I was in here also, that the band is having theirs kind of where they've had it in the past. We've had one, and that the PFSO is going to have it in the back?
Yeah. The PFSO is going to be in the back this year because they're ripping up Taft Avenue.
Okay, and Taft Avenue, and then we'll have one in the front.
When are they ripping up Taft?
Day after school. They moved the location. No, they didn't.
Taft Avenue will not be closed.
Yeah.
It'll be partially restricted. And we're doing it off school hours so that we do it, although unfortunately there is summer school. But there will be an effort to make sure there's through traffic both ways, but it won't be as unobstructed as it is now. It's going to be construction.
Right. But and PFSO, you said, are doing the backside, like where we were
last
year.
Yeah, we're doing the backside this year, and then
band
should be the last I heard at the front of the school.
The band is at the front of the school.
We're both going to be in front still.
And the band moved their location last week. They were a little bit, they were at the left, and they've now moved it kind of where it was last year. They moved in the last 2 days, or 3 days.
Back in the parking lot or in front of the school?
In front of the school.
It just moves in the green belt a little bit further down the street.
Okay.
That's all. It doesn't change.
Yes. Okay. So is it going to be the whole summer, or how many
months? It'll take us about 90 days to complete, so we're hoping to be complete by the end of August.
Yeah, we're hoping
so
to be complete before school opens,
start,
but
right.
I don't know, because school opens in the middle of August.
The council will take action in May. The contract will be let. We'll have a town hall to explain to people what's going on, right? Shortly thereafter, the council takes action with the work to hopefully start in June.
And we're going to work on the turn lane. I mean, we're going to try, with the turn lanes coming in, to have them, you know, with the big dots and stuff, so people kind of know where they're going in and trying to
everything
alleviate the traffic.
Everything will be
temporarily marked. It'll work out. We're going to do the best we can to get it done before school starts.
Okay.
And that will be it. And I'm going to bring something up to the district. I just thought I would bring it up here. The sports fees that
the high schoolers are incurring. I'm getting complaints from parents about the boost, how the booster clubs are handling requesting the fees for their activities and the dollar amount that's being requested. They are suggested donations, but some of the parents are coming to me saying, what can we do? It is an OUSD issue, but I'm bringing it up here just to know that it's something that's on my list to discuss with you, since they're Villa Park parents, and how much, how they're asking, whether they're taking payments, and it's, before it turns ugly, I just want to discuss it with the district. They're everything is a donation, but some parents are feeling that the increase in the fees to play football, to play volleyball, to play baseball has increased so much. And then when they indicate that they cannot pay at that level, some of the booster clubs are not welcoming smaller donations, is the issue. And there's been some complaints from some of the booster clubs not being compliant 501c3s, and that they're paying the money. I'm not necessarily sure where it's going. They know they're getting the services because they're playing the sport, but they're not compliant. They find out that they're not compliant. So that's been the buzzword in my ear this year.
If I could just comment on this, this is all governed by federal law. Federal law requires free and appropriate public education. So it's illegal. We have no choice. We cannot require these kinds of payments. However, we do know the realities of school budgets, and so teams do fundraising and donations are sought. However, it sounds like perhaps we need to do some training of our booster club.
That was something that came to me.
So that they know that they need to comply with 501c3 requirements, and they need to have their charter or their EIN or whatever in order. And they also need to understand that if parents come forward saying, I can't do this, that their child is not denied the ability to participate, and that some other arrangement needs to be made.
That was, I believe it might be Foothill, it might be Tustin. They do, it's a requirement that their booster clubs go through a training with their district to tell them that. And that was something that was brought to me that I'm not aware of, and certainly beyond this, but it is, the parents that came to me were from Villa Park, and they're afraid. They're not gonna bring it vocal and have their name exposed, because nobody wants their kid to get kicked off the team or be bullied or whatever it has been. I mean, those are always very sensitive issues. So if we can take care of it on a higher level of training,
right,
then nobody's exposed and everybody benefits.
There was a meeting this past year at the district level, because I was booster president at El Medina. But I have to say there was still a huge amount of misunderstanding about the rules, and there was kind of this aura of, this is what you've done in the past kind of thing, and we're not telling you you can't do that, but we're saying you need to change your ways. But it was very vague and strange, and I think that, I know at El Medina at least, there was a huge amount of misinformation about what we're allowed to do and say and this kind of thing. So I think there needs to be much more training at that level.
And the training that you're talking about was a training of who, by whom?
Ed Howard had a meeting at the district in the beginning of the school year, and they invited the booster presidents from each high school, and the ADs were there usually, and some of the coaches, but there's still...
This was an everybody meeting.
It was, but it was very confusing.
The message from the district was not clear?
Yeah, because I had to call Ed again and ask him questions, and even what I was getting from the AD was different than what Ed was saying, and it was just like a mess.
Thank you.
Okay.
So who else were in that meeting? Did we have the district auditors? I mean, from making presentations to the booster club?
No.
Did we have
Ed Howard auditors? Was the only one who spoke.
Okay.
Nicole, anything else from you?
No, but when you were talking about changing Taft, I was curious about when you repaint and line up the street, will there be any difference? Because I've noticed, if you're coming in from Orange onto Taft, and you want to turn, you have a turning thing to go into the first driveway of the parking lot. But the second one, there's like... It's,
you don't know what's there. From the other end, you don't know what's there.
There is no way.
Yeah,
really
there's no way. And that is, that's a main, that issue right there is where I'm talking about the, we're going to fix that. That is so dangerous.
It is.
Yes, and that's the main issue.
Okay. Is it in front of high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering about that too, and I should have spoken up, but because there's a little parking lot, you can come in, and the, those little bars kind of separate. And
yeah, if you go on the wrong one, you're dust. You can't get out.
I know. I don't even, and I live across the street, so I don't even understand it. So, are you taking that into consideration, or does the district need to do anything about?
No, the Taft will be remarked.
Only Taft will be remarked, because right now you don't even know you can turn left into the parking lot. So what happens is you have a two-lane highway and you just stop.
Right.
And the car behind you goes, what are you doing? Because you don't even see it.
Right.
Yeah.
But
so,
what I'm saying is, you know, those fences that are within...
Well, those are your fences.
I know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is...
Why? Is get rid of them?
Well, do they contribute to the issue, or do we need to work together with how they're placed?
They don't contribute to the issue.
Okay.
The issue we have.
Okay.
I don't know why they're there, and that would be to
are
be honest.
Are they fenced off the faculty parking?
Right, but
yeah.
But it doesn't. It doesn't do anything with, as far as turning into
it
the parking lot. No, not at all.
It wouldn't affect.
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on private property.
It's just an oops when you get in there.
I know.
You can't get out.
Okay. I see it, but I can't get there. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from you guys? Nothing? Kathy?
No.
Okay, Jill?
I have a couple things. One, there was an item you missed on the agenda, and it was E, about using, running the OUSD board meeting videos on our cable access. We talked about that
agenda.
Before.
This was something we talked about last year.
We were going to do it.
No, and actually we weren't. Jared was going to look into it. We weren't going to do it. We didn't decide that. This is an OUSD. I've talked to Superintendent Christensen, and I think I might have spoken to you, Kathy, just in general about this, that OUSD should be running that on their cable, not ours. We should be running city-related items, which are, we have requirements for recycling, we have requirements for refuge, we have requirements for not draining your pool, we have Southern California Edison requirements, and we have those, and that's what we are running on ours. But I've requested that OUSD run there so people can see it on their website.
The video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they run on their website, that's fine, because they don't run it on, there's no way we can see it on their TV.
Right, to run it on
right.
the website, just like when you go to our city
just
website,
like
you put it on a YouTube channel so they could see it. I've requested that, and that certainly is just something that would be
well,
up to
I
them.
I still request that because I feel like the citizens of Villa Park should have the opportunity, if they can't go to a board meeting, to be able to see what's happening.
Right, it's more of a school district issue, Jill. I mean, not everyone goes to OUSD. They do go to private schools also. And I think that it's responsibility of OUSD to make their board meetings more transparent for us to be able to see it, just like we make ours very transparent.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I just feel like that needs to be.
To make it easier. And I would strongly suggest that you get somebody, just stick them on a YouTube. Or put on the website. I love going to the city, other cities' websites, and I just click on there and I'm able to have access to it.
Well, we have a very robust website if you visit it.
Mm, it is.
You do.
So there, I don't. It should be on there.
And we have an excellent IT department.
And my recollection at that time, it was Jared, the former
was going to pick up the CD.
Used to get a CD. Every after
right,
meeting, and then I don't know
but we don't want to put it on our website. We want to stick to city.
Who's
really,
we, Diana? Because I do.
I know you do, but this
I
is
can't
a.
Can't say we then.
But okay, you're correct. I thank you for your suggestion.
Well, and I have to say I agree with Jill because we do have a lot of older residents in Villa Park, and so they might not necessarily go to a website. I think, you know, even if you just play it once a week, play it once every other week, you know, just, you know, have it there somewhere just to cast a wider net, just to make that information available.
We can establish a link on our website which gets you directly to yours, which would make probably solve the problem.
Oh, there you go.
You click a link and it gets
you
right to it, which we wouldn't have to run it and get
and
a disc on
ours. Could be part of this committee.
It doesn't matter, just so that there's access.
Yeah, that's to say, we can get access to it.
Because yours only runs twice on a TV channel,
I've never seen it. I mean, I've never seen it.
It's absurd that
they've got
only
the recording,
twice.
So it's
can you link it to the website?
Link it to their website.
Link it to the website.
Right. Yeah. That way they can see it.
As much access as possible.
Sure.
I think it's always better to err on the side of too much.
We can take care of that.
Okay.
Linking it to the website, not on the
right.
TV.
Right. Okay. We'll create a link, and I'll work with your IT guys so that it pops up, and but somebody gets right to it and can play whatever they need to play.
And that's great, but it doesn't solve the issue that Nicole brings up, and that is that some people don't necessarily go to the website. They would like to turn on the Villefort channel and want to see it on TV. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's just, you know, I prefer this or that, but some people are. I mean, especially maybe older residents or whoever, you know.
I think that we also, though, have other requirements that are not on. They're not on our website, and that was something that we're deficient in. We have videos that have come in from all the utilities that we don't have on them.
You're thinking on the cable.
Yeah, channel 3.
We're going back and looking at what we need to be putting on there, and just so we can have a more full schedule of things robust that we're supposed to have on there.
Because we have right now some complaints about the city not being transparent in its own business. So I want to bring us into compliance with the city requirements before we take on. Giving information about OUSD because we're a little bit deficient on
so
that.
So in May, there's an item coming for the council that will be the upgrade of the city's website, and in that we have the opportunity to be more robust and connect and do all those things on the website. The cable things as well is a separate issue about what shows the programming, and that programming, the councilwoman is correct, we need to make sure that we're meeting all of our statutory requirements about the types of things. There's recycling information that should be published. There's, you know, I mean, I know the councilman was telling us the other day he went and, you know, people are putting plastic bags on recycles in their trash cans for the recycle cans and things like that. Those are the reminders and things that need to be there. So we need to do a lot of that kind of thing. So we're going back and checking our schedules. So there's kind of two parallel things going on.
Okay.
But on the website, most definitely, that solves some of the problems. Again, it doesn't address the cable, but that's sort of.
But we can link it to their website,
right.
and then we can bring it up.
But the cable we'll have to work with.
So, since this is, Jill, do you have something else?
Yeah, I have a couple things. First of all, you're tearing up Taft Avenue. That's going to happen. The foundation has their 4th of July bicycle parade. It usually starts out in front of the school. Is that going to impact that?
Probably.
It might.
Yeah, just have to change it. I mean,
we'll
the
have
Taft,
to talk about it.
The Taft Avenue's been on it's been on the project shelf now for about 2 years, and we've talked about it now for a year almost at every meeting. So it's something that it's been widely publicized and talked about. But yes,
we should.
You're
we
correct.
Should talk
it
about
will.
That. We should.
So that, I mean, that's.
And you have two council members who were on the foundation, so they should have told you guys at the meeting. Last year, I know. Sorry.
Okay, because that's a critical thing for the kids in Philpark. So, do you have some suggestions where we might? We've already reserved in the process of reserving the school and all those things.
We need to look at that and see what we can offer. Any thoughts?
Well, the foundation will come up with it. With the you and Rossini are on that.
Right.
Maybe you and Rossini can have
a
meeting
with
them.
Well, we have to do it right away because it's the and. So that's something that's really critical. I wanted to share with all of you that the foundation does have some grant money to give away. So if you have a special project, I'd like you to be able to, go ahead and make an application, which is on our foundation website.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, fill out the application.
We've been able to give to the band. We've been able to give to Grant. We'll be giving to Brad Knight some.
Yeah, we gave $2,000 to the band, right?
Right.
Yes.
We're growing exponentially every year. We need it. We have a room that's made for 40 kids. We have 180.
Oh, I know.
We have no instruments to put in their hands. So we need all the help we can get.
So take a look at what some of your needs are and look on the foundation website, which is bpcsfoundation.org.
Go to the city website and go to foundation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll try and help you out. That doesn't mean everybody will get all their money, but... I'd like to be able to.
We appreciate the help.
Okay. Since this is my first chair, I'd like to find out if there's anything for improvement's sake that we could do on the next meeting that would make this a better meeting for you all. Or was this sufficient? Did we cover everything that you all wanted to? You know, this is about you all and the city working together. So is there anything you'd like to see from an improvement perspective?
I had a little trouble finding out when this was going to be.
Me too.
We had the old list was not accurate, so now we've updated. I think we've tried to resolve that a little bit. And so we're still working through some of the kinks. But
us too.
Us too. Yeah.
So
we thought we were sending it out to the right people. Come find out who we're wrong.
Typically, this would be our last one because June is, the next one would be in October, end of September or October.
Well, do you all want one during the summer or anything, just for an update? Or
because nobody comes.
Well, I know. Yeah. I'm just asking. So we wait until October? Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else? Well, thank you all and all of you for coming today. We appreciate it. Meeting's adjourned.
Do you need to get, because...